glad you're here with us tonight. When I was a little boy, living in Brooklyn, New York, we were playing in the street, and a vehicle came down the street and parked just where we were playing. And if you don't understand that, in New York City, there are not too many places for kids to play except in the streets. And so we were a little upset that this strange-looking vehicle parked. It was strange because I had never seen anything like that before. And I tried to Google it to see if I could find it. And I did look at it. Here's what it actually looks like. There it is. It was a truck that had the old bicycle sprocket in the back, so it had no transmission. It just had like a bicycle sprocket in the back. How many of you remember any of those trucks? Am I the only dinosaur among you? And we wondered, who in the world is driving that strange-looking thing? It looked like something from outer space. And it was this old man. His name was Joseph Greenstein. And we began to make fun of him and call him Moses. Well, he didn't like that. And so he threw the door open and went to chase after us. And we said to ourselves, silly old man, he thinks he can catch up with us. So we ran and discovered he could run faster than we could. It scared us. And so then he stopped and he said, hey, boys, come back over here. Let me show you something. And he took a spike. You know the spikes in the telephone poles? The old spikes, okay? He took it out from the back of his truck and put a handkerchief around it, put it in his mouth, and bent it in half. We were certain it was a trick. Then he took it and with the U-shape put it in his mouth and bit it shut like a bobby pin. And we went, give us that. So he gave it to us, and we pull and pull and throw it down on the ground, sure enough. Bing, 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 bing. It was a spike. And then he demonstrated other things to us. He had a poster of himself standing with a steel bar in his mouth, and two women on one side on swings and two women on the other side of swings. Four women swinging on swings while he held it with his mouth. Amazing? But let me just show you a little video clip of this man. They call him the Mighty Atom. I want you to watch what he's doing. He's bending a steel bar with his jaw. See that? Then he's going to drive a spike through wood. Then he's going to bite the chain in half with his teeth. And then with his hair, he is pulling a semi-truck. Can you see that? And it turned out he was one of my Jewish neighbors. Here he is when he's much older, and he's driving a spike right through 4 inches of wood with one strike. How many of you men would like to have that kind of hand? And so we have no idea who he was, and we're glad he didn't catch us. The Mighty Atom. It was after that that I began to read the Bible when I became converted and discovered in the Bible that there was a man called, what? Samson. Many people think that the Bible is some funny old book written by people who perhaps were on drugs or alcohol or something, and they hallucinated and saw things that nobody else could see. But in reality, the Bible is a scientific book and is way advanced science. Did you hear what I said? It is a what? A scientific book and is far above and beyond science. In fact, the first surgery and the first anesthesia is recorded in the Bible. Did you know that? How many of you knew that? You did not know that. Well, look. It says God put Adam into a deep sleep, anesthesia. And then it says that he opened up the side. We call that surgery. Then he pulled out a bone. We call that extraction. And then he closed up the side. We call that suturing. The Bible doesn't use big words. It just uses simple words so children can understand it. It just simply said God opened a side thereof, pull out a bone, and close them up. And there's no question today that the ability to pull something out of the body or put something in is a reality. But in those days, especially when the Bible was written, the way that people got rid of each other was by opening them up with a knife or a spear or something. So for them to think that this could be true was beyond belief, because that's the way you did somebody under. But now we know the truth. My wife has two cousins, organ transplant surgeons. And I asked John, one of them, I said, John, how difficult is it to take out a kidney and put another one in? He said, oh, it's very simple. You just pull one out and put another one in. Well, I know better than that. So the Bible is true. What do you say? And I could share many things with you about science concerning the Bible, but here's the son of Joseph Greenstein, and his son is 92 years old. How old? 92 years old. And at the age of 92, he is pulling a car with his teeth. At what age? 92. Amazing? And so there are many marvelous things in the scriptures. But here's what a scientist said. This is Herschel. All human discoveries seem to be made only for the purpose of confirming more strongly the truths that come from on high and are contained where? In the Bible. Let's pray together. Father, as we study your holy word, we're grateful for it and ask your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. This evening, I'd like to share with you, rescue from where? From outer space. The book of Job tells us a story of a man who all of a sudden was afflicted by the devil, and the devil inflicted on him not only the demise of his children, the destruction of all that he had, and his own health. In fact, they were worms that were actually eating him alive. That's why he says later, though worms destroyed his body. See? Though what? Worms destroyed his body. So Job was having a lot of challenges, and they were his comforters, his friends, that came to comfort him. But rather than comforting him, they made his life miserable by telling him how wicked he was, how bad he was, what a terrible guy he was. If he wasn't that terrible, these terrible things wouldn't have been happening to him. So they go back and forth, and Job begins to ask a lot of questions. Until finally, after chapter 37, so you have 37 chapters of questions and dialogue between Job and his comforters, finally God interrupts and says, I'm going to ask questions myself. And he said, Job, listen up. I'm going to ask you a few questions. And these questions are actually scientific questions. In Job chapter 38, if you have your Bible, you can turn to it. Job chapter 38, you will see then the only four questions that I'm going to address tonight for the sake of time. But I want you to see the question. Can you bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Can you bring forth Mazareth in the seasons, or can you guide Arcturus with his sons? How many of you have read through the book of Job? How many of you remember these questions? You remember these questions? Good boy. You did something that nobody else did to hear tonight. These are scientific questions. And so tonight, we're going to address three of them. Let's look at the last one first. Notice it says, can you guide what? Arcturus with his sons. Now, the reason why most of us don't remember these questions is because they didn't seem to make any sense to us. So we just read and kept on going. But the reality is that these are very highly scientific questions. And I want you to notice what God is asking Job. Notice God says, can you guide Arcturus with his sons? Now, what is or who is Arcturus? Well, recently they discovered what is Arcturus. Arcturus is a star. It is a what? But it is a runaway star. It is not held onto any galaxy or any system. It is flying with its suns through space. It has been flying through space now for over 3,500 years. I'm saying that because the Bible was written about 1,400 years before Christ. That makes it about 3,400 or 3,500 years that this star has been traveling. Now, the question is, what more information can we find about the star? If you notice, it is actually flying near what we call the Milky Way. This is where we live, and here is the star. Can you see it? All right. That's Arcturus. And Arcturus happens to be flying at 925,000 miles per hour. How fast? 9,2500 miles per hour. Is that fast or is it slow? What do you think, Jed? You ever seen any car fly that fast? 925,000 miles per hour. Now, something that's interesting about this is that this is not a small star. Our sun is 1,300,000 times bigger than the Earth. 1,300,000 times bigger than the Earth. Okay, that's our sun. Arcturus is at least 1,000 times bigger than our sun. So how big is it? Well, let's consider. You can see the little dot up there. You see that dot? That's our sun. It's an Arcturus. So, if Arcturus were to fly into the Milky Way, you see how densely populated it is? There are billions and billions of stars in our Milky Way, okay? If Arcturus were to fly into that density of the stars, is there a possibility that it can crash with something? What's the answer? Yes or no? Yes? No, you got it wrong. The answer is no. Now you may say, what do you mean, Pastor? Listen, who is guiding Arcturus? That's why God is asking Job the question. Job, can you do what I am doing? In other words, I am guiding Arcturus with his son. Job, can you do that? What's the answer? Could Job do that? No. If God is guiding Arcturus, is that the reason why it hasn't collided with anything for the last 3,500 years? There are other galaxies up there. Right now, it is flying in this direction toward what we call Spica. Okay? And it was discovered with this telescope. It is the Palomar telescope. How many of you have been to Mount Palomar? Any of you? None of you? You all are Californian. You haven't been there? Let me see there. Okay, one hand. All right. Now, just so that you know, this is two men over here. Can you see those two little men there? That should give you an idea of how big this telescope is. And that telescope has the ability of measuring the angle of a straight pin at over 200 miles. So it's a very, 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 very strong telescope. And it's through the telescope that it was discovered that Arcturus is actually a traveling star through space. And they measured the approximate speed of it of 925,000 miles per hour. Here's a new telescope. This new telescope is called the Hubble telescope. It is put up in space. Are you boys acquainted with the Hubble telescope? Are you? Okay. The Hubble telescope is a magnificent telescope. In fact, here's what they did. You know, out there it looks dark, very dark. And what they wanted to do is figure out if there was anything in the distant darkness. And so they fixed the Hubble telescope at a spot about the size of a dime, the distance from here to the back wall. And when they took to look at what the Hubble telescope was seeing, this is what they discovered. The total area of the sky covered in the deep field is the equivalent to putting a dime 75 feet away and looking at it. That is, in other words, according to Wikipedia, 1/24 millionth of the sky. There was, in that particular image, there were 3,000 images in the high definition field, almost all of which were determined to be what? Galaxies. All right? Now, what's interesting about that is the most distant being up to 13 billion light years away. Now, let's multiply 3,000 by 24 million, and you will come up with roughly 72 billion galaxies. In a little spot that big, 72 billion galaxies. And each galaxy has billions and billions of stars. So you have to ask the question then, how big is space? Amazing what he's saying. But listen. Here's Skuton Sobieski, another densely populated galaxy. If Arcturus were to fly into that area, will it collide with something? What's the answer? What's the answer? No. Why? Who's guiding it? God is guiding it. I'm going to ask you the third time. Here's another cluster of Hercules. If Arcturus were to fly into there, would it collide with something? All right, now you're getting the picture. No, why? Who's guiding it? God is guiding it. So here's the point, and don't miss it. What God is telling Job is this. Job, if I can guide Arcturus with his sons, can't I guide your little life? Job was complaining about his problems. He was not happy with what was happening to him. And he had many questions, but God wanted to get Job to understand that if he can guide Arcturus with his sons, he can guide Job's life. And sometimes, my friends, things are happening to you that you can't not understand. Are you hearing me? But if you're in God's hands, ultimately, He is guiding you to something better. God never asks you to go or do something that it is not for your well-being. And so all that Job was experiencing, God was telling Job, I am guiding your life. And if I can guide Arcturus, I should have no problem guiding your little life. Isn't that amazing? So how great is your God? Listen. Let's look at the next question. Can you bind the sweet influence of the Pleiades? Now, what does that question mean? The Pleiades. Anybody knows what the Pleiades is? Okay. The Pleiades, most people call them the seven sisters. The what? How many of you are acquainted with the seven sisters? Are you acquainted with the name? I see that there are not many stargazers here. All right? The play of these is not seven sisters, even though to the naked eye, that's what you can see, seven sisters. The play of these, here's a picture of the seven, but there are actually 250 of them. How many? 250 stars. Now, what's amazing is that Arcturus is the only single star that's traveling to space by itself. All right? The Pleiades, likewise, is the only group of stars, of 250 stars, that are traveling together at the same speed to the same destination. And what God is asking Job is this: Job, can you keep the Pleiades together? How many of them? 250. And to prove what I'm saying to you, here's another picture of them. They're called the Pleiades Sweet Influence because they're so beautiful. But listen, notice what it says concerning this by the scientists. Isabel Lewis, the United States Naval Observatory, quoted by Philip Knox, said, astronomers have identified how many? 250 stars as actual members of the group, all sharing in a common motion and drifting through what? Through space in the same direction. And then it says that there are over 25,000 individual measures. In other words, of all the scientists that have been watching and studying, there were 25,000 different measurements. And here's what they concluded. They finally concluded that the 25,000 individual measures of the Pleiades stars are now available, and their study led to the important discovery that the whole cluster is moving in a southeasterly direction. This is the only group of stars in the heavens that have been discovered to be performing in this fashion. Okay? They're like a flock of birds flying in the same direction at the same speed. Amazing, what do you say? Now let me ask you a question. How did the writer of the book of Job, in a time when there was no telescope, how was he able to write such intelligent questions? How? The master astronomer inspired. Who? Who is the master astronomer? Well, it is Jesus, our Creator. We say amen to that. And so, he is asking Job, Job, if I can keep those stars together, can't I keep your little life together? What's the answer? Yes, he can. Now we're going to the third question. Can you lose the bands of Orion? Now, if you notice, this is the opposite. The other one is, can you keep them together, right? Now this is, can you lose the bands of Orion? What's the bands of Orion? Well, the bands of Orion basically is the belt of Orion. Here's the constellation of Orion. How many of you know or have seen where the configuration of Orion on the east? How many of you have watched the Orion? Okay. Now, what's interesting about Orion is that it actually is supposed to be making a figure of a great hunter who boasted he could kill anything until a little scorpion stung him in his heel and he died. Well, that's Greek mythology, and it's not true. However, it has helped us to identify groups of stars. Is that true? And I was just in Iceland a few months ago, and this is an actual picture that I took in the sky of Iceland. Isn't that amazing? And I mean, when we looked out the window, my wife and I looked out the window, it was like a huge mammoth star formation out there of Orion. And it is interesting because it actually has the shape of a kite. How many of you remember making kites? Any of you? Remember, you took two sticks and tied them together, and then you took a string, and then you took. I was too poor, so I either newspaper, or you took a paper bag, open it up, right, and then glued it with pancake batter. Well, those of you who had money, you could use Elmer's glue. Those of me who didn't have money, we used pancake batter. Anyway, so, and then you went and got your mommy's dress and you cut a piece of it off, so the tail, right? Okay. So here you have the actual shape. All right. You see that? There. Okay. Now, there are some very interesting things about this constellation that I should address. There's a star on the left knee of Orion called Rigel. And Rigel is a very bright star. It is 40,000 times brighter than our sun. How much? 40,000 times brighter than our sun. Amazing. Then there's another star called Betelgeuse. Some people pronounce it Betelgeuse, but it's Betelgeuse. All right? So if you notice Betelgeuse, it's another mammoth star. And I'm going to do some comparison here. If you look at Pluto in comparison to the Earth looks like a pretty big planet, right? Yes? There's the Earth and there's the Pluto. But if you also compare the Earth to Jupiter, then what happens to the Earth? It's not as big as it was before, right? Can you see that? But if you compare Jupiter to our sun, then what happened to the Earth? Well, the Earth was pretty much what? Almost completely gone. Can you see it right over there? I held on to that too long. There's the Earth. There's Jupiter, and there's the sun. So how big are we? Then we are comparing our sun to Arcturus. Can you see that? What happened to the planet Earth? It disappeared. Then we're comparing Arcturus to Betelgeuse. So, where's Arcturus? Okay. Here is Arcturus, and here's Betelgeuse. And then there's one even bigger than Betelgeuse. It's Antares. Now, what's amazing about all this information is this, that it speaks volumes as to how small we really are. Now, suppose you had the same proportion. I think Dr. Kelly is maybe 5 feet eight. Is that what you are? Or 5'7"? Okay, he's 5'7". I was going to say 5'7", but I wanted to give him a little credit. So, okay. So 5'7". Now let me ask you a question. Suppose he's 5'7" on this planet, and he had the same proportion on Betelgeuse. How big would he be? Well, here's his size here on the planet Earth, and here's how big he would be on Betelgeuse. His height would be
37 and a half miles. His chest would be 138,000 feet. The circumference of the forearm would be 8 miles. The length of his index finger would be 11,000 feet. The length of his leg would be 18 and a half miles, and the calf would be 9.5 miles. So that would make him pretty big. What do you say? Comparison to planet Earth. Whoops. And so Pardon me.
And so you can see then that what the Bible is revealing is something very interesting. It is telling us how big God really is in terms of the universe and how small we really are. No wonder that David made the statement, what is what? Man, that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man, that thou makest account of him. So really, when you think of this the mammoth size of stars out there, and you realize in comparison to all that's out there, we are really actually but a speck in the universe. And that's the earth. What does that make us who live on this earth? And yet God, in his infinite mercy, shows such a wonder for us and care that he would give his own son for you and for me to live with him forever. We can serve a God like that, what do you say? Yes. Listen. There's something more interesting about this constellation. And again, I have to ask the question, how did the writer of Job know how to ask such an intriguing question as what he has asked? Can you loose the bands of Orion? What does that mean? Well, listen. The nebula of Orion is this little spot here. And for a long time, scientists thought that there was three stars. How many? And to the naked eye, they look like three stars in a row. Okay. However, they're discovering that that particular star is not a star at all. With the telescopes, they have discovered that the middle star is a cave, not a star. Now, why is that important? Here's the cave, which looks like a star from a distance, but is brighter than the other stars, though it's not a star at all. So scientists are scratching their heads, because since it's not a star, why is it so bright? Okay, so here's what the scientists are saying. They're calling it the what? The open space in Orion. And here's something very interesting. What has all along appeared to be a flat surface of nebulous matter in the sword of Orion is shown to be the mouth of a cavern, a deep opening receding into the mighty distance beyond. And it says, it is like looking in at a door, and to the rear of the cave, deep within glittering nebulosities, the chasm is the most beautiful object visible to human sight. Pillars, columns, walls, facades, bulwarks, stalactites, and stalagmites are within deeps of deeps. They glow and shine superbly with pearly light. So there's the question then. The distance of this rear of the rear of the chasm from the opening cannot be measured, but it must be at least three times greater in depth than width, or 51 trillion miles. Sirius and Taurus following would have ample room within this cosmic deep. Torn, twisted, and distorted masses of shining gaseous matter adorned with myriads of glittering points, and the whole forms a scene of what? Indescribable magnificence. So, this Titan mass of pearly light whence its origin. It is, if it is a cold light, like a luminosity, not due to heat like the case of fireflies. How many of you have seen fireflies? Do they have fireflies here in California? You haven't? No, fireflies. You poor souls. They're for kids, it's exciting. When I was a little child, not in New York City, but in Puerto Rico, we used to love to go and catch the fireflies and put them in jars so we had artificial light. Notice it says, if it is the light like from a firefly, cold light, the solution to this mystery is beyond the present power of science. If due to heat, the quantity of heat must be of millions of white hot suns. In other words, they have no idea what is making the light. Interesting? But listen, there's more to it. I've been to many caves. How many of you would like to go to caves? Any of you? Some of you don't want to go into caves, but some of you, it's okay. So I've been to many caves. I've been to caves in Poland. I've been to caves in New Zealand and Australia. And I used to be the pastor of the Carlsbad Cavern area, so I could go to the Carlsbad Caverns. And so in Krakow in Poland, they had caves that are actually salt mines. And I remember going in there, and they had the actual scene of the Last Supper carved out of salt. Interesting. Many, many different caves. Beautiful, right? But listen, when you compare those caves to the cave in heaven, they fade into insignificance. Now, what about the bands? The question is, can you lose the belt of Orion? I want you to know that now they've discovered something very interesting. At the present time, this consists, that is the belt, of an almost perfect straight line. A row of second magnitude stars about equally spaced and of the most striking beauty. In the course of time, notice what it says, however, the two right-hand stars, Mintaka and Alenine, will approach each other and form a naked eye double. But the third, Alnita, will drift away eastward so that the belt will no longer what? Exist. Unlike the Pleiades clusters, the stars in the band of Orion do not share a common trajectory. In other words, brethren and sisters, the band is presently being loosed. How did the writer of the book of Job know this significant question and write it down? Obviously, the master astronomer is the one that inspired them with these questions. What do you say? All right, but listen, there's something more. If you notice these stars, here they are, okay? And what's supposed to happen is that one star will become a naked eye double. And the other star will move away, and that will lose the band of Orion. Orion will no longer have a belt. I want you to notice something more important than that. December 16, 1848. The Lord gave me a view of the shaking of the powers of the heavens. Dark, heavy clouds came up and clashed against each other. The atmosphere parted and rolled back. Then we could look up through the what? Through the open space in Orion, whence came the voice of God. The holy city will come down through that open space. How did Ellen White, in 1848, when there was no telescope of any significance, know that there was an open space in Orion when the scientists themselves didn't know? Is it possible that the same one that inspired the writing of Job inspired that little lady to see a vision that has helped us to locate the heavens of heavens? Remember, Jesus will come from which direction? From the east. As the lightning shineth from the east, even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Where is Orion? On the east. Where? On the east. You can be down in Australia and you cannot see the Northern Star. You can be up where we are and you cannot see the Southern Cross, which all people from the south beyond the equator can see what it's called the Southern Cross. But anybody who was any place on the globe can see Orion. Did you know that? I've been up to Norway. I've been up to Iceland. I've been down to Christchurch down in New Zealand. And wherever I've gone, I was wondering whether or not I could see Orion. And guess what? I was able to see Orion from every place in the world. In Germany, in South Africa, wherever I've been, I look to the east. Of course, if I'm down there, I have to turn upside down. But I have been able to see Orion everywhere. So, I want you to notice something interesting here. The holy city will come down through that open space. You know that the Bible says that John sees the holy city coming out of heaven. Correct? Now, Jesus did promise us the following. Let's read it together. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my? There are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what will I do? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We know that Jesus resurrected. We know that he ascended and went to heaven. Is that true? And we know that he promises to come back. Is that true? And we recognize that the signs all around us tell us that he is at the door. Is that true? We recognize that things are getting pretty close. And that's exciting, because he says, when you see these things, lift up your head, because your redemption draweth nigh. So listen. According to the scriptures, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And as Jesus, our Lord, according to Revelation chapter 19, comes with the armies of heaven with him, they are coming to do the rescue mission of all of God's children who are still on planet Earth. And so when Jesus descends down to this earth, he'll come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is coming to take you home. And the scripture says then, that when he descends down to this earth, he says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught out to meet the Lord in the
air. And so imagine that. The graves opening. Our loved ones coming back to life. I laid my mother in the grave. I laid my father in the grave. My son, my brother, my stepmother. This past end of the year had been a difficult. My sister-in-law also passed away. But we were people of hope, because it says that you sorrow not as others who have no hope. And so we rejoice in knowing that the Lord is returning. What do you say? And so the dead in Christ begin to rise. What exciting reunions will take place. What do you say? Mothers and fathers, children and grandmas, all embracing. And then the greatest procession that has ever took place will take place then. All of God's children will rise and they'll begin to leave the planet with Jesus at the head of the group. And what an exciting trip that will be. It will be the greatest procession of all history. Imagine that. The Bible says that there are a group that shall be before the throne that no man can number, according to the book of Revelation chapter 7. And you have all of these wonderful people have raised and flying up through the skies with all the angelic hosts. And our planet gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And then imagine the sightseeing trip that you will have. The angels or the Lord himself telling you, pointing out these gorgeous things that he has out in space. Imagine all the colorful things that he has put out there, the planets, and then entering into right to the universe with all of these galaxies and all the wonders. Can you imagine us flying through space and with our mouths open? And all that we can say is, oh, look at that, look at that. There will not be one dry eye, because every eye will be so excited with the joy of finally being able to break out of this atmosphere and this polluted earth and fly through the space and being able to see the wonders of creation, the beautiful things that are out there. Ah, friends, listen. Jesus is leading the group, and finally they come close to that open space. According to the scriptures, it'll take a week. So that means that we're going to be flying at super duper speed. The Bible says that the angels fly at the flash of lightning, which means then that you don't know speed until you get out in space and the Lord is leading us. Finally, all of the God's children enter into that open space. And then finally, there, someplace in the deep recesses of that cave, the holy city. And as we see the holy city, our hearts would beat. And finally, as we approach the gate, Jesus opens the gate, and all of God's children walk in. What an exciting time that will be. How many of you want to be there? What an exciting time. But the most exciting moment will come when all of God's people will stand four square before the throne. And at last, at long last, you will be able to hear your Father's voice saying, "Welcome home, children." How many of you want to hear that? Welcome home, children, at last in heaven with all of God's children, with all the angelic hosts, and with Jesus. I dare say that all of us will be wanting to go to Jesus and thank him. What a stampede that will be to thank Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for making it possible for me to be here. Our friends, listen. The day is coming.
The scripture makes it plain that there's a rescue from outer space. Jesus will descend with his angels. He's coming to get his children. He wants to take you home. The question is, do you want to go home? Do you long to see your Savior? I remember a young girl came up to me. She said, Pastor, do you think Jesus is coming soon? I said, yes. How soon? I said, I don't know, but very soon. And she said to me, I hope he doesn't come very soon. And I said, excuse me? I hope he doesn't come very soon. I said, why not? She said, because if he comes too soon, I won't be able to get married. Well, there are more important things than marriage in life, and that is salvation. What do you say? Yes or no? And so, we should long for that wonderful day when your Savior descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And so, notice the last text here. Seek him that maketh the seven stars, and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and pours them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Well, let me ask you this way. Do you want to be ready? How many of you would like to be ready? Can I see you stand? I'm going to ask you to stand. If that's your real desire, Lord, my heart is excited with the knowledge of knowing that you're coming soon. And now we know for certain that there's a rescue, and I want to be among those that are rescued. I stand, Lord Jesus, to honor and praise you for the blessed hope. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you revealed to us in your blessed word. How comforting it is to know that even though we may suffer in this earth or have difficulties or challenges like Job, that ultimately you are in control of our lives. If you can guide Arcturus, you can guide us. If you can keep the Pleiades together, you can keep our life together. And if you can lose the bands of Orion, you can lose the bands of sin in our lives. And so we praise thee for the blessed hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, Pastor.